Good evening and welcome to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Colton, I'm your host for this evening, and you are listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't forget, you can listen to us all day by downloading the app from the App Store or Play Store. And you know, you can also go to your desktop, you can go to your Google bar and put in www.guardiantalkradio.com. And you can click the live stream button if you don't want to deal with apps. I know I don't. I miss my bubbler, something terrible. But there you go. Listen to us every Wednesday at 6:30. So tonight we are here to talk to the master artist, although we're not supposed to be using the word master anymore, John Beadle. Previous to getting on the air, we were talking all about words we can use and not use. So, but John Beadle, for those of you who listen to the show regularly, you'll know him. For those of you that are new tuning in, John's been around a long time. He's a junkaneur. He's a painter. He's a sculptor. He's a all kinds of things. He's just a creative person. And he's here to tell us about his new, well, to tell us about his new show coming up at Turn Gallery, which opens on Saturday, all day opening. We want to keep it like mellow and not too crowded, because even though we all heard Omicron is not as bad as people were making out, we're still being careful. So all day opening, come and go, keep your distance. Some of it's going to be outdoors, be nice and chilled out at Turn Gallery on the West End. And that show is called Splinters and Shards. And John is here to tell us about that in his practice. So good evening and welcome back to the Blank Canvas, John Beadle.
Good evening, Amanda.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I remember last time you were in the studio, actually. I think you were one of the few people that came in. Like, we had this blip of doing live show, of doing shows in the studio. And I asked how the pandemic was for you, and you were like, didn't change much.
That's true. Yeah. I was in the middle of the pandemic, or when there was a lot.
When we were like allowed back in for like a minute, and we got in the studio, and then I've been taping. So actually, audience, we're actually in the studio for the first time in a year. So
in fact, I was working on the show. I was doing those pieces that are in the show coming up.
Yep, exactly. And then I just sort of came by and I was like, oh my Lord, these are so beautiful. So let's talk a little, let's just talk in general. So the show coming up is called Splinters and Shards. It is mostly, it's sculpture. It is mostly wood sculpture, though you've got some metal sculptures too. Yeah. And I guess one of the first questions, which is, it's a basic question, so don't roll your eyes at me, but for the audience, because, you know, we want to like get in here, is how do you decide what's coming up next? You're a painter, you're a draftsperson, you're a junkaneur, you do a lot of things. Is it just like what takes, you know, that obviously something started it and you went down this deep dive into this body of work. What makes you wake up one day and say, carving, not painting?
Boredom. No, you know, because I have a lot of stuff in my studio when I work. Wood, cardboard, paint materials. Sometimes I start, let's say, working on a painting right now, and I look in the corner of my eye, everything is peripheral, and I see material, and I start thinking about what that thing could be in conjunction with what I'm making right now. And it may suggest that how I'm trying to draft and manipulate paint is not effective enough or doesn't communicate the idea enough, so I then move to some other material. And more often than not, the excitement of moving to the new material just start to snowball, and I keep on rolling.
Mm-hmm. And then the poor painting sitting in the corner like,
it suffers.
John, don't forget about me.
And that's what's going on right now. The paintings are calling.
Yeah, so I know I asked. So we did a little short film with you that I think people can see. They'll see soon. It'll be released for the show. We did a little like interview, and I crafted some questions, and some of them were bad, and some of them were good. But one of them led you to answer, because I asked, like, a lot of people that work with wood or natural materials, they often say, like, oh, the wood tells me where to go. Like, I'm following the, you know, like, whereas you had a really different answer. You were like, no, I'm taking what I'm doing from painting or drawing, and I'm bringing that to the wood. Can you tell us a little bit about
that? Yeah, I mean, my educational experience is painting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's true, but that's not true. Because I've been doing wood carving for a long time, and just not in this with this size. I learned from a bunch of different things, and I apply those things to what I'm working on right now. I respond to the wood. But not in the kind of like Zen, popular speak about. Because when I make some marks, taking consideration, And the language I talk is drawing and painting. I say make mark as opposed mm-hmm. to carve. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's my experience. So when I make a mark, taking in consideration what's interesting about the wood. If a knot is there and I like that, then I let that wood, that knot or the area where the knot is, let that breathe. If I don't like it, then I get rid of it.
Cut it out.
Yeah. So it's the mm-hmm. same kind of like you add and you take, but it's not, you don't add. You mm-hmm. subtract in a way that what you don't like isn't there anymore. I don't ever be adding to the wood. Mm-hmm. Once I did.
Well, with the metal, so some of them are like combinations, right? So you've mm-hmm. got these beautiful kind of discs, these tondos, I guess you'd call them, which basically is a fancy way of saying a big circle. Mm. So get the talk, normal talk, not fancy art talk.
Okay.
So big circles. But the big circles, and they have patterns on them, you know, sort of wavy lines and circles, and then you're burning it. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. But you do apply, like some of them have metal kind of living on them.
That, if anyone has been paying attention to my work, it is about the material mm-hmm. and what other material can be added
yes.
to tell more of the
like
story.
Nature's lines, yeah. I think of, yeah.
So this... not exactly came from Nature's Line, but Nature's Line mm. suggested it because it's a part of my repertoire. Mm. So adding a different material that has kind of different kind of fluidity mm-hmm. was what I wanted to do. I wanted something that was dense as wood, but seemed more dense, or mm-hmm. how light hit it made seem lighter. Mm-hmm. So polished metal, or mm-hmm. as much as I wanted to polish the metal anyhow, mm. Was added for the texture, the hardness, and the lightness, because when light bounces off of it, and the kind of the wavy lines that I found in describing a piece of scrap, as opposed to trying to make that line.
Mm-hmm. So were you inspired by like literally not broken bits of metal around, but like detritus lying around?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I picked the stuff up. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I pick it up. I've bought some, tried to twist it, and was bored, because just me trying to manipulate the metal was I couldn't seem to get the right curves and waves and swings. So I start going and looking at it. Like most of the curvilinear lines are basically metal thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd go to scrapyard, I'd go to metal people, and they would, the ties that they connect the bundles with, I would just get those and then mm-hmm. weld those together, because it comes with curves or undulation I need. I don't need to be trying to make that. I mean, getting away from the same thing, painting suggests that I need to be, if I want an image, I make that image.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be making the lines if I could find the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. So your basic... do you intentionally go to scrap yards to look, or are you literally not stumbling across, but...
intentionally, sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes you see some stuff in the road.
Yeah.
You ever stop at an intersection
yeah, yes.
and see those things just in the middle? Like they just congregate there because somehow there's a vacuum, and yep. it just like migrates there.
I just think it's really funny, because when we first came home... you know, my poor kids, they've grown up with these like contemporary art parents. So, you know, they grew up with this particular visual language. And I remember we were driving down Prince Charles, and we passed the rooster. Mm. And my youngest kid goes, "What's that?" And I go, "Honey, that's a sculpture. That's art. It's a rooster. It's there in the road. It's made by, you know, yada." She goes, "Oh, okay." And then we keep going, and there was this like broken down satellite dish, you know, one of those really big ones,
yeah.
but it was like really old. It was like peeling, and it had like people had started throwing things there. And then we drive along, and she goes, "Oh, mommy, look, there's some more art." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, I need to start taking her to see some other things." But it's kind of interesting, because sometimes you do catch these glimpses of things, and there's sort of a beauty in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beauty in these sort of random accumulations.
Yeah, I mean.
So in a way, you're kind of formalizing that.
Yeah. I mean, you start to recognize it's been orchestrated, then you wonder why. So mm-hmm. the information you get from just seeing something on the street and then recognize it's orchestrated, then you say, let me think more deeply about what it is I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what art is all about.
Mm. Yeah. And also, I mean, when I think about some of your paintings, you know, often when I'm trying to kind of give the 3-minute introduction to John Beadle, which is always not the best way, but sometimes that's how it is. As I say, you know, they started painting, and then things started becoming applied to the paintings, and the paintings became reliefs. Because, you know, you start seeing like the hooks and the machetes and all kinds of things being applied. So this idea of kind of not adding to the material, not adding to the paint, but you're adding to the painting.
Yeah, so applying to the surface.
Yeah.
And applying to the meaning too. Because it's about making the reading more dense.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most boring thing in the world is looking at a piece of work of art and seeing one thing.
Mm.
You know? I mean, for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about myself. To get one reading, and then if you tilt head, you get another reading, and if you tilt head, you step back forward, you get another reading. I think that's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope my work is like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also if people walk away and keep thinking. I always think that's kind of part of the work too, right? Yeah. Is not just like, oh, look, that's nice. Okay, move on.
Yeah.
But that they walk away and it comes back and like, oh, I wonder why. And maybe it was this and maybe it was that. So, yeah. Cool. So how long have you been working on this body of work then for? It's been a year and a half, 2 years?
How long was the pandemic?
Yeah.
As long as that's been troubling us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was locked down. I was working on a project. I had these things around. I did one. I thought about, because before the work I was doing, mm-hmm. I had a commission. I had the rectangular ones in the space, and I just said, okay, mm-hmm. this rectangle is interesting. Wonder what a round would look like. So I did one round, two round, three round, and then I get one back to my commission. So the pandemic came. I was still locked down. I had a bunch of scrap work. Every time I got bored with the commission or wanted to take a break, I would go and at least build the forms and start the drawings. Yeah, so...
So you answered the question, because I was going to say, why the round? That was going to be my next question. Okay. You kind of got it. But why the round? Aside from just, oh, there's triangle, like, is there some...
It's sexy than the square. It's sexy than the square. or rectangle.
And then we can also call it a tondo and be really fancy, which is you know, again, it's funny how in art there are like certain forms. Like, you just don't really see triangular paintings, do you? Like, you see round paintings.
Yeah.
And I guess it responded to architecture a long time ago. Like, in ceilings you'd have a tondo, or maybe in, you know, an area where a window might have been, or a rose window.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of tied to, I guess, buildings. And even when you think about the square or rectangular format, it's because, you know, generally rooms are square or rectangular, so you want to be able to like hang it on your wall.
Yeah, it fits there perfectly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how these things happen. You don't really question them. I'm like, I want to start seeing some rhomboid paintings. Anyway, we're going to go to a quick break. We're here in the studio with John Beadle, who is not an artist.
I'm a tinkerer.
He's a tinkerer, so he says. We're going to get into that question after the break, because I think that's kind of interesting to mine that way of thinking. Something I find a lot in junkanoo shacks too, is people refusing to admit they're artists when they really are. But I think, again, we talked before before we went on the air about sort of language and that means. So I think that could be something interesting to explore, like why we have to have these titles somehow and what they mean for us. So I'm here, and you are listening to Guardian Talk Radio. We're on 96.9. I am Amanda Coulson, your host for this evening, and you are listening to the NAGB's Blank Canvas Show, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. We're going to go to a short break, and we're going to be right back.